We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This one will be fun, even though it's going to be more about Cleveland than it is about Baltimore. I'm doing tastiness, and we're wrapping things up. It's our 27th anniversary. It's all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I am featuring all the things that I love to eat, my 27 favorite things to eat. This is the final countdown. We're down to day 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You can check it all out. It's tastiness with one S, like a tasty cake, T-A-S-T-Y. NES. I might want to do this about my favorite things and favorite places to eat outside of Baltimore at some place, because I could come up with 28 or 29. One of them is with my dear friend out in Cleveland, Ohio, in Tremont. I'm going to let Munch tell you about the shipwreck. Munch Bishop is one of our defending champions, recurring guests, foils. Boy, we're both 0-1, right? So, I mean, you got Joe Flacco coming in. We had this mess in Buffalo the other night. I'd rather talk about your Ramones t-shirt, but we got football around here. And there you go. There you go. I mean, I saw the Ramones at Hammerjacks. I'm with you. How are you, my man? How are things in Cleveland sports?
Brother, for me, I am better than good at Cleveland sports. You know what? I'm focused right now on high school football on Friday night. The Buckeyes, of course, down in Columbus, but Cleveland sports, the Guardians, continue to win games, make things interesting as they make their move towards the postseason. We'll see what happens there. Big series with Kansas City. They won the first game yesterday. Then they've got Detroit for six games next week.
Well, I would bet you a oatmeal butterscotch scone at Lucky's Cafe on this game this week, because this is going to be fun. I watched Flacco play on Sunday. I watched the Browns defense and Myles Garrett, who is a game wrecker of a
Myles
fighter.
Finally showed up, yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm being
and
sincere with you, yeah.
I don't know if this is 41-14 this week, or it's a beatdown, and they'll pick Flacco three times and harass him. I mean, there wasn't much of a pass rush the other night on Josh Allen. I'll tell you what, though, Ravens really got their feelings hurt. I mean, and I know you're a young old-timer, but you stayed up late with the game on Sunday night. I mean, it's a meltdown after meltdown here. Harbaugh's getting it. They're all getting it. Derrick Henry and the fumble, the whole deal. I mean, the Ravens are so talented, but they can't get out of their way some weeks, even in weeks when they should have put that game away, and they don't finish off teams here.
It's interesting that you said that, because right now, looking at things, it should be a 41-14 game if the Browns are lucky that it's that close. Because number one, the defense did show up in the second half, and I will give you that. Greg Newsome must be the luckiest man on the planet Earth, because he couldn't cover me on a good day, okay? But the bottom line is he just, guys that have their back to the ball constantly and don't turn around and kind of throw a hand out, luckily at times, well, it doesn't sustain, okay? And look at Burrow and the Bengals. First drive right down the field. Did they get fat and lazy? I know the Browns didn't do a lot of other things as the game went on. Myles Garrett was superb. Two sacks, four tackles for loss. Again, to me, he's one of the most overhyped players in NFL. Good guy, don't get me wrong. But you know what else, Nestor? He stayed for the money. When people stay usually just for the money, it does not work out, okay? So, winning to him is secondary. He talked about winning the Super Bowl this year. Come on, Miles. That's a kiss of death on this team. This team is headed for another 3-14, if not 2-15 season. And I have them predicted to start the season 0-6. Thankfully, they have the Dolphins in Game 7. But Joe Flacco, such a good guy, still throws a good football. The picks are on him. Second pick went off the receiver's hand. Go figure. Guys dropping passes. I mean, Judy dropped a big pass on Sunday. Fannin, the young man out of Bowling Green, a rookie, he's going to drop some, but not on a crossing route right in your hands. And they had a couple other drops. Is that no running game in any way, shape, or form? So your Ravens can concentrate on the pass game, jam the guys at the line of scrimmage, and we'll see what happens. The thing that shocked me about your team is I felt that the Ravens, you can respond to me on this, built up their defensive backfield, perhaps one of the sore spots on the team last year. And boy, Josh Allen still worked his magic.
Well, certainly late in the game, right? I mean, 250 yards in the fourth quarter. Jaire Alexander was getting picked on. They signed him for $4 million. The injury issues in Green Bay, he's real close with Lamar Jackson from their Louisville connection. Okay. That's just one of the reasons that he was sort of recruited in. It came at the right price point. Owusu-Ye as well, came over. Look, and they drafted with Wiggins and Starks. It needs to get cleaned up. And obviously Harbaugh had
Quickly.
questions about it on Monday morning as well, out in Owings-Mills. You can find that in the audio vault at Baltimore Positive as well. Luke's been out there burning up the candle on
By the
the
way, tell those
losing
guys some
side
hi.
of this.
He's good people.
Of course,
A pro's pro.
the difference between the expectation levels here of hosting championship games and winning them, and then winning a Super Bowl here, and the expectation that you have as a five-decade celebrated Cleveland radio host who's seen everything back to Bernie Kosar and Brian Sipe, and even before that.
Frank Ryan,
So
my friend.
there you go.
The professor, yeah.
So I would say that the level of expectation in this game and this week and where we are is it should be 41-14. And I said to Luke, Ravens go three and out, or Flacco somehow leads a drive, 10-play drive, and they score a touchdown, and the Ravens are losing 7-0. It'll become a home game for the Browns in some way. They're honoring the Ozzie Newsome 96 30th. They're doing all the. They're bringing the 75 Colts in this week, Munch. The 75 Colts are coming
Oh
to town
my
this week.
gosh, how
Bert
cool is
Jones
that?
is coming here this week, right? Lydell Mitchell. Ted Marchabrota obviously was the coach of that team
Yeah,
as
my boy
well.
from Penn State, Lydell. How could you not like Burt?
Hey, diddle diddle, man. All of that, right? So, I mean, the Ravens are putting this thing on and all this icing on Lamar and where we are. And then they go out and play like that against Buffalo. I mean, I know this is a really rough week to be in the building in Owings Mills.
Well, it
This is,
should be.
I mean, I know in Cleveland there aren't a lot of expectations and it is what it is. You're patching it together, but
You see,
this.
there aren't expectations for people with half a brain, and that's about what I have, okay? You're still talking, fans are talking before Sunday's game. Hey, this is the start of 17 and 0, and here's the sad thing. They're serious. I mean, the over-under wouldn't be 4.5 on these guys if it wasn't a legit number. I mean, usually people are, well, but the Browns fans, of course, are dumping money on the over, and they're going to be big, big losers. No, expectations for so too many are that, oh, yeah, they're going to shake that one off. Esther, they are going to start the season 0-6, and that's a sad thing. But you know what? Most people don't care because it's like a cult, and you know that.
Well, yeah, and the criticism. Look, I got an Orioles team in last place with an owner giving his own bobblehead out, and they can't get out of their way, right? And the Myles Garrett thing's interesting because he screamed that he wanted out, and then he took the money. And it's very fair for you to say, like, if you're serious about winning, you don't want to be here in Cleveland,
Right.
right?
He
The
wants the money. Simple.
Shedeur Sanders thing became its own thing for the league. For everything that Dion represents, which I've had enough of Dion. And now Flacco coming back to Baltimore this week. This is quite a storyline for a
It's a great
football game here
story.
this week. I mean,
Yeah.
of all the weeks, Flacco's not going to come back here probably ever again. Not in a starting scenario after playing pretty well last week in a must-win game where the entire franchise is under siege right now. And by the way, Munch, we got Detroit next Monday, Kansas City after that, Houston and the Rams waiting down the road, right? So this first six games we have here, everybody just thinks, well, they need to be 5-1. Better make sure they're not 2-4.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you can't be 2-4. Interesting, something else to point out, and don't ask people what it is, because Joe Burrow, not only is a fine human being, he's a dang good quarterback. There's something about him in openers. Bengals fans saying, we don't care if we won by one. We don't care if, it was a coin flip kind of win because he's 1-9 in openers. He's just got something against them, and I don't know what it is. So you've got to look at that fact, too. But, it's interesting to note when you look at Myles Garrett, again, played a great game. If you look back at his career, Nestor, he's made a difference in very few games. In fact, if you say he's made a difference in five games in 8 years, one of them is when he swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph, okay? Because that was the difference because he got kicked out of the game and got suspended. So he's got to come up big. Let's earn the money, my friend. But the middle of the line, if you have any running game, the two rookies in there, they were very, very soft. The rookie linebacker from UCLA did a very nice job. And again, except for Denzel Ward, they're not going to cover you and me on a good day. So there's something just to point out for your Baltimore Ravens.
Munch Bishop is here. He is in the land of Cleve doing all things Cleveland sports, including the Guardians and still calling some minor league baseball and getting his Sports Jones going when he's not beating up on the Browns. And I mean, it does get relentless, though, right? Like, I am perceived as being this anti-Oriole guy. My last name's Aparicio. You know, I'm anti
Thank you.
I'm anti-losing. I'm anti-not winning. I'm anti-lying to the fans. I mean, they called the game a sellout here the other night because Cal Ripken ran around. It was 8,000 seats in the stadium empty. Like, don't stop lying.
See,
If I had
that's the.
any message,
Thank you.
just stop lying to me and welcome me back. People ask me why I didn't go to Cal Ripken's game Saturday. The truth is, I'm not welcome down there. My people aren't welcome down there. They're just not. I mean,
No,
they've
I'm with
told
you.
me I'm not welcome down there. Why? Ask them. Don't ask
You
me.
tell
I
the
love
truth. That's why.
baseball.
And my background. I was a kid at 4 or 5 years old with my nose pressed against the single pane glass down in Fleet Avenue in Slavic Village in the inner city, waiting for my dad and my uncles to get off the bus after a Browns game, hoping my dad brought me a program. And up until they signed Deshaun Watson, is that I still pretty much lived and died with these guys, even with the immoral Confederate thief Jimmy Haslam and D. Haslam as the owners, okay? Because from the get-go, these people were crooked, and you knew that. You saw that with the Pilot Flying J fiasco. You see that with their newie now. And I, you know what? Do I pile on the Browns? I tell the truth that most people are afraid to or won't do it because as some of the reporters have even told me this, which is a sad thing. Hey, I need this job. I said, well, okay, you need this job, but you don't need to be getting on your hands and knees to these guys, okay? Just tell the truth. How could you get in trouble for that? And they still feel that they can.
Well, we've given Bisciotti one and Rubenstein now $1.2 billion of state money that comes out of lottery tickets, comes out of all sorts of things to fund club levels to move press boxes, name them after Kevin Byrne, and put them up in the corner. I call it the little box. It's like the Keebler Elf box up in the corner of the end zone that they stuff Luke into and tell me and the Baltimore Banner they don't have seats anymore because we do things like investigate, predatorial behavior by their kicker that's serial over a decade.
You know what you could do? Send them to the
Chasing women
Browns.
around the city here who are providing a professional service and trying to turn them into hookers.
Send Tucker to the Browns. And then with Watson, we have the salt and pepper of women abusers,
Well, you
okay?
know what? You at least you'd have a kicker because I mean, I tell you what, the kicker cost you. Flacco had to stand up defend a kicker on Sunday after losing to the Browns,
Yeah,
right?
and his best receivers also drop passes. You know, I know when everything's said and done, you can put it on the kicker, and we've seen that so many times because that was the final blow. But still, guys don't drop passes, and guess what? Well, then they have another score in there somewhere else. But bottom line is, yeah. And here's what's interesting, too. How Andrew Berry and Dee Podesta, I mean, Dee Podesta ruined the Oakland A's, and then he comes to the Cleveland Browns, how they were able to choose this guy because they said the analytics showed that he was better than the last kicker, Hopkins, okay, that was on his way out anyway. So how could you trust people like that? I mean, it's just deplorable, the decisions they make, and you look at the roster, that's even more deplorable.
Paul De Podesta, strangely enough, the Moneyball and all of that, he was working for the San Diego Padres, I believe, or there was a team, and I was out on the road somewhere,
Oh, wow.
and he came up to me and remembered me, and I'm like, he might have been with the Dodgers, I wherever
Okay.
it was 15, 20 years ago, and he came up to me, and he's like, do you remember me from the Baltimore Bandits? And I'm like. He's like, yeah, my first job out of school was with the AHL Baltimore Bandits. They only lasted 2 years, Munch. It was like a hockey team that came after the Skipjack. People don't remember. It
Do
was in
they
the
play in the
mid-90s,
arena?
but they played at the Baltimore Civic Center at the
Oh, my
arena then. It was
favorite.
called the arena then. It was before it
Yeah.
was Royal Farms
Showing
or
my age.
any of that, right? But early 90s, Walt Kyle was the coach of the team. They were the Anaheim Ducks farm team for a minute as well. But Paul De Podesta's first gig was in hockey, doing statistics. So here in Baltimore. So there's a little fun little Moneyball Cleveland Browns fact. Munch Bishop was, I think, around. You were around before Modell, right? You're the Keebler Elf in 46 and all that. When was the first time you did sports media in Cleveland, and what was the gig?
Okay, I started actually in Columbus. I just had an anniversary, August 15th, 1979. It was a sports
79,
re
okay.
and you're gonna like this. Well, you're not gonna like the results, but people remember, show proof that people remember everything that we have said throughout our careers. I had somebody come up to me the other day and said, Do you remember what you predicted in your first show, August 15, 1979? I sure remember it like yesterday, because the morning guy was trying to put his new sports guy on the spot, right? So here you're middle of August, and after we gave a little Buckeye preview, this and that, and talked a little bit about Reds and the Indians at the time, he goes, "All right, Munch, you say you know your stuff." I said, "Well, I don't say anything. You just said that I know my stuff." He goes, "Who's in the World Series and who wins?" I said, "That's simple. It's the family, the Pirates against the Baltimore Orioles." And even though I love those birds from the Baltimore area, because I'm a big fan of your city, I said, "The Pirates are going to win it." And guess what? In 79, that's exactly what happened. That was my auspicious debut to the world of sports reporting and announcing.
I was out the other day eating a meal, and We Are Family came on.
Oh, did it upset your stomach?
I put down my meal for a minute or two because I mean I just do, you know. I mean it's been with me since 79. I
Yeah.
got all my sisters in me. Munch
Omar
Bishop
Marino's
is
wife
here.
blowing her whistle in the
Yeah,
stands.
I know
Remember
she's
that?
still blowing her whistle. The Pittsburgh Pirates thing's its own thing because I once went to lunch with Bert Blyleven, who
Oh, the
insisted that
Dutchman.
he insisted that I take care of his World Series ring during lunch. So he made me wear the Pirates World Series ring, which was a little weird, but he did buy me a really nice bookmaker down at Sabs, which is great. Munch
Okay.
Bishop is here. He is in Cleveland. Lucky's is still there. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is still there. The Guardians are still there. Blossom is still there. All the great things in the Cuyahoga region are still there. And bad football is still on tap, even though Jim Schwartz of Baltimore, Joe Flacco, once of Baltimore fame, are going to come back here and try to take Joe Flacco's, or excuse me, Lamar Jackson's lunch money here this week. Munch, anything on the Guardians? You got any baseball for me? Because I know you're at heart, you're a baseball guy, and you
Yeah,
watch the
baseball is
Orioles
my number one.
unravel. Yeah.
It's interesting that, number one, part of the problem with the team this year not only is, losing starting pitchers, and the Class A thing totally put the kibosh on this team. I mean, you got to take a guy who was not your setup man, it was your hold man, your seventh inning guy, Cade Smith, and turn him into the closer. But the bottom line is the Class A gambling debacle really, really put a problem, was a problem for this team. However, Stephen Vogto has to stop this lefty-righty nonsense. I think the Guardians have more different lineups than any other team in the major leagues. You know what? If you're a big leaguer and you're a lefty, you hit lefties. If you're a big leaguer and you're a righty, you hit righties, okay? Put your best guys out there each and every time. He hasn't been doing it, and it has cost him some games. Some of the young kids, oh, just stellar. A Manzardo, Kephas is going to be a winner in a big, big way. We know what Kwan and Jose can do. But Nestor, here's a tough part. When I look at this team, what did Billy Martin used to say? Give me a little pop on the corners, but give me just a good defense from catcher, short, second, and center. Right today, the Guardians need a new catcher, new shortstop, new second baseman, and a new center fielder. Now, they got Posada in the minors. That will he be ready next year? Who knows? I mean, it's just his second year in the minor leagues, but they need those four positions, especially catching. I mean, Bo Naylor, everybody loves him. Not, I mean, if he hits 170 to finish the season, you just can't have that, okay? Plus, his defense is suffering because I'm sure he's worried about his batting average. But other than that, you got some of these young kids pitching great. You saw Ciccone took a no-hitter into the eighth inning yesterday with one out. He was relieved when the guy got a single. Then he got a double play next ball, got a nice standing ovation over there. You got Parker Besick, the lefty, who's doing real, real good. Gavin Williams. So your starters are very, very good pitchers. Tanner Bibee's been up and down. Sometimes I think it's between his ears. And any team that has Jose and Kwan, you said it's just two guys, but they'll set the table and they'll get everybody playing better around them. And Manzardo batting behind Jose is seeing better pitches because Jose's sure not seeing them. So you know what? They're doing good. 2.5 games out or 2 games out now of the wild card. People are worried about Seattle. Don't worry about Seattle losing, okay? Just worry about the Guardians winning. That's what I always say. Nestor, you're like me. I can't stand depending on another team. Do it yourself and get it done.
Get the job done. Munch Bishop's here. So last thing for you, because I do
Yes,
know you
sir.
got to go. This is a baseball related question. It
Yes.
came up over the weekend because you just said something. You just said no hitter, took a no hitter. We had the Yamamoto thing here Saturday night, 8 2/3.
Right.
Luke was at the game. Luke was at the game that night. Several of my friends were at the game that night. I'll give you my history in 30 seconds because my audience has heard me blaze on about this for 30 years. My kid went to the Hideo Nomo no-hitter and invited me. I didn't go. I
on.
hold on. I was supposed to go to the David Cone no-hitter in New York. Springsteen played that night. It was a Wednesday afternoon. We're supposed to go. My buddy didn't go. I didn't go to the no-hitter. I was at the end of the Juan Nieves no-hitter in 87 at Memorial Stadium, but I
Okay.
got in the car in the sixth inning when it was a no-hitter and drove out. I was in the locker room. I mean, I was standing next to Nieves. I got a champagne on me in that locker room from Robin Yount, Molitor. Those guys were on that Brewers team. So I walked out of a no-hitter at Jack Murphy Stadium, Bud Smith's no-hitter on Labor Day of 2001, the week before 9/11. I had a flight that I changed, a red eye. It's back when I was syndicated, Sporting News. I walked out. I have a full ticket. I have my press badge. I did my show at Jack Murphy Stadium with Tony Gwynn, Bruce Bochy, the late great Kevin Towers, Tony La Russa, they all did my show. I packed my bags and I walked out in the third inning. I remember looking up at the scoreboard. Bottom line, Munch, and I've been at other seventh, eighth inning no hitters in various things. It's never happened to me. Has
Guess
it ever
what? I've
happened
had
to you?
one.
Did you do the Len Barker?
No, you know what? I can't. Everybody says they were there like Woodstock, and they weren't there. But I saw Santana of the Angels throw a no-hitter against the Indians, and actually went down 1-0 in the first inning on an error. And after that, it was about the eighth inning. I looked at my son and my wife because my wife loves afternoon baseball. I said, "You know what? This freaking guy's tossing a no-hitter." And my son goes, "You're not supposed to say that, Dad." I go, "I'll say it if it's the opposition." And I saw that no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, once you get into the night, like, I had somebody this week say to me, "Well, I'm glad Holiday broke it up." I mean, I'm glad that they won the game and it became this miracle crazy. I mean, it's a top five Camden Yards ever night by my standard. Or
Yeah.
any, we haven't had a whole lot of. I mean, Munch, we had the Pope there. McCartney played. Billy Joel played. Buffett and Van Halen. Angelos broke the contracts with them, so they never played there. And I know Buffett actually played Jake, but. Other than that, and we're up on the 30th anniversary now of Albert Bell and 95's coming up next month for you guys in your World Series, that the first of the two back in the 90s. Camden Yards is about 21-31 and the Delmon Young double. There was a night where the Orioles eliminated the Red Sox in 11 that we call the curse of the Andino, Robert Andino. It doesn't mean anything to anyone anywhere else, but to Oriole, to the cult, the curse of the Andino. I'm like, dude, if that's number three on your list, move the Pope up higher. You know what I'm saying? But so for me, this game on Saturday, legendary game by any Oriole fan standard that attended Cal's 30th anniversary, but it was a no-hitter for 8 2/3. And I'm thinking to myself, there's nothing more precious than if you attend a no-hitter in baseball. It is,
I
it's
agree. It's
beyond
special.
seeing the Northern Lights, right?
It's special, especially when you're a baseball fan, because it is a feat that you say no hitters happen. Well, they do happen, but to be at one doesn't happen that often,
Irvin
if ever.
Santana, not Johan, correct?
Yeah, Irvin, thank you.
I was thinking Johan. I'm thinking
Yeah,
tw
I'm
twins. And
sorry, I should have spelled that out.
when you say Santana to me, you know what I think, right?
Carlos.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have my belt buckle here. Hold
Oh,
on. I'm gonna show
what'd you
my.
know?
I gotta have my Carlos Santana belt buckle. There you go.
Oh, baby.
And that.
David F. Carlos Santana. You know what? To me, with the greatest performance in Woodstock, Joe Cocker was good. A lot of the bands were good. But it was Carlos Santana and Soul Sacrifice.
Did you attend Woodstock?
I did not.
All right, I'm just checking. I mean, I
But
feel like you attend everything else, you
I'm
know?
a fan of the movies, brother. And if you watch Soul Sacrifice in there, it is special.
All right, there he is, man. I got
Oh,
Ramones in this, Santana. I got French Toast involved in this. It is our wrap up a
on.
taste of
Let's put
this.
the Pope in, the ex-former Pope in here too.
That's not the Pope that came to Camden Yards. This was John Paul the like
No,
the
this is Pope Francis, man, Francesco, the Argentinian.
right, of course. The Pope now is from Cle or from Chicago, right? So
Yeah,
yeah.
Leo, my guy, likes Malort and Old Style.
Well, let's bring him back. Let's bring him back to Camden Yards. Pack the place. I
You're
am
the best,
Nestor. We
man.
are WNST, AM 1570. This whole segment's been a shipwreck at Lucky's
It's
Cafe.
been fun, man.
We got to get back. You got to let me know what scones they have on special because I'm coming back. That's all I'm
Okay,
saying.
brother, I'll be there tomorrow.
I am eating good in every neighborhood. Our Tastiness 27th anniversary is available. Make sure you're following that as we count down. At the end of this Tastiness, there's going to be some pollo a la brasa. There's going to be some meatballs, and there's going to be some broccoli tempura, and there's going to be some proper peach cake. I'm letting everybody know it's coming down the pike this week at Tastiness and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.